Hi, this is Lauren Hoyt for SearchCRM.com. This is the first installment in a podcast series on creating customer value with Peppers and Rogers. Today we're here with Martha Rogers. She'll answer reader questions on building trust with customer strategy and customer equity in the long term and the short term.
Hi, this is Martha Rogers. I'm speaking on behalf of my partner, Don Peppers, and myself, and I'm delighted to be answering some questions for our readers at SearchCRM.com. Some interesting questions here about building trust with customer strategy. Our first reader question is this: do you think building trust requires absolute transparency on the part of a company? Do we need to tell our customers every time we make a mistake? I think the best way for us to answer that question is that building trust is not the kind of objective that can be accomplished with absolutes. The whole concept of trust is too malleable for absolute rules. In fact, at the best companies that are the most trusted by customers, the real trustworthiness comes from really building a culture of trust among the employees so that employees know in any given situation what the right thing is to do. And there's an alignment in what's best for the company, what's best for the employees, what's best for the customers, and everybody sort of knows by judgment and wisdom and self-knowledge how best to go about that. And that's how we know whether we're acting in a trustworthy way. So transparency is important, but you can only build trust by doing things that are within reason. So, for instance, if you made a mistake, it's probably best to tell customers if in any way it's going to affect how they're going to experience the product or service. But more than just informing customers that you've made a mistake, the most important step here is to take responsibility for it. And don't ever say, you know, what you have to understand or make excuses. Just take responsibility. We goofed. And then also take responsibility for making amends, for putting it right. To earn the customer's trust, you have to take the customer's point of view and simply ask yourself, if I were the customer, what would I honestly consider to be fair? And for particularly difficult problems, it's probably going to be helpful to go out and ask the customer what you can do to make it right. Our next question in thinking about building trust with customer strategy is this: what's your take on multi-channel marketing and building trust with customers? Do customers really want to hear from us through different channels, or should we group customers by their preferred method of contact? So, for example, email versus phone versus text message and so forth. In some respects, it seems that multi-channel marketing might make customers feel overwhelmed quickly. The way we might answer that is simply to say that many customers are already multi-channel, but certainly not all of them. And the fact that marketers consider multiple channels so challenging is usually simply an indication of our own poor ability to coordinate and manage our own activities. Because we have someone in charge of the website and someone else in charge of, you know, the stores or something, or maybe someone else in charge of magazine ads, then we tend to think of those as very separate. But the customers don't. Ideally, we should interact with customers in the channels that they prefer individually. So offering customers the choice is always preferable. And we shouldn't let multi-channel marketing morph into multi-solicitation marketing, where we assault you everywhere. And remember that for the most part, multi-channel customers for most companies are more profitable than other customers who reach you only through a single channel. So that means that when you have the opportunity to reach customers through more than one channel, to reach a customer through more than one channel, that's such a valuable customer that you want to do it more wisely than ever. We've gotten some good questions about customer equity, especially in the long term and the short term. How do you define short and long term when it comes to customer equity? How should a business determine what short-term or long-term when dealing with customer satisfaction? Do you think it varies by industry? This is an excellent question, and I guess the best way for us to answer it would be to say that, you know, customer equity is really the total of the lifetime values of all your current and your future customers. So all the customers you have today and all the ones you will have tomorrow, the sum total of all the value you'll ever realize from customers. Because customers create all the value, this means that customer equity is virtually the same number as the going concern value of your business. So if you take away all the money that you already have in the bank, all your assets and liabilities, what would someone be willing to pay for your company as a going concern? And that price should be pretty close to the value of your customer equity. Here's another question from a SearchCRM.com reader about customer equity. How can customer equity be captured on a balance sheet? How or where does it fit into the bottom line? Here's how we might answer that. The lifetime values of customers can be thought of as an intangible asset, and there are a number of accounting initiatives being considered in various countries to do a better job of reporting on the kind of intangible value that customer equity represents. Under current accounting principles in the United States, direct marketing firms are allowed to capitalize that value of their lists, which is essentially like carrying a number, if you think about it, for customer equity on their balance sheets. But the way we define customer equity, it includes the value of future customers in addition to current ones. So an easier way to think about this might be to say that by our definition, customer equity should not only include the value of current customers, but the value of prospects as well. Think about it. Every identified prospect has some probability of becoming a customer, and if the prospect becomes a customer, then the customer will have a lifetime value. So the value of any single prospect is the probability that he will become a customer multiplied by his lifetime value if he does. We're seeing a lot of changes, some improvements, in accounting and how it's being conducted worldwide. And we're very optimistic that companies will get better and better at understanding that probably the most tangible of the intangible values is customer equity and be able to measure it and report it appropriately. Here's another question on equity from a SearchCRM.com reader. The question, I believe that customer loyalty decreases when there is cognitive dissonance. Cognitive dissonance is caused by problems in the after sale that are not taken care of in a correct way by the manufacturers. Do you agree with this view? If yes, what do you think are the specific factors that determine whether a customer will remain loyal? Well, strictly speaking, cognitive dissonance occurs when your experience doesn't match your expectations. So when you buy a new product, you expect it to work properly. When it doesn't, you suffer cognitive dissonance. Even if the product does work flawlessly, if the company's after-sale service seems poor to you, you'll be disappointed. In fact, the better the product is, the more disappointed you might be by poor service. There are two things you should do to exceed a customer's expectations. Improve the quality of your product and service, and be sure that the customer's expectations aren't built up so far in the first place. If your advertising is really trumpeting the quality of your service and the follow-up and how great everything is and how perfect life will be, then you might attract more new customers with that message, but you'll also have to work harder to ensure that their expectations are met, they're not exceeded. Customers remain loyal for a lot of different reasons, however, not just the quality of the product. They'll be more likely to remain loyal if they think your offering is better than they can get from a competitive supplier. They'll be more likely to remain loyal if they've invested any kind of relationship with you, a relationship that may be difficult or time-consuming for them to recreate with a competitor, even if the competitor has a comparable quality. And they're going to remain loyal if they feel like they can get what they need from you without a hassle, without repeating themselves, without going to a whole lot of trouble, that you hear them and remember what they say. It's been great to have the opportunity to hear what's on the minds of some of the readers from SearchCRM.com. We look forward to answering more questions in the future. This is Martha Rogers for Don Peppers and Martha Rogers, signing off.
Thanks to Martha for being here today. Join us again next month for another podcast with Peppers and Rogers on creating customer value. If you have a question to submit, please visit the Ask the Expert section of SearchCRM.com or submit a question to editor@SearchCRM.com. Until next time, I'm Lauren Hoyt.